And if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable religious and dear parishioners, as we reflect on these words from the epistle today, we realize that our helping of the holy souls in purgatory is entirely founded on this principle. In other words, why should we care about the souls in purgatory? And the answer is because they are our neighbor. Obviously not our next door neighbor to whom we live here on earth, but our neighbor in the broad sense of the word, that they are our brothers and sisters in Christ. So I would like to reflect upon purgatory today and also on the gaining of indulgences, which is such an easy and powerful way to help the holy souls. But this is why we should care. We are commanded to love one another, and obviously some relationships are closer than others. Obviously, members of your family have a greater claim on your charity than, say, someone in Asia or Africa or Europe. There's a closer bond. But what is this bond that joins us with these unseen brothers and sisters of ours in purgatory? It's sanctifying grace. Here again, we're reflecting on the great teaching of the communion of saints. Everyone in heaven is in the state of sanctifying grace. They couldn't enter heaven otherwise. Everyone in purgatory is in the state of grace. They died in the state of sanctifying grace. They had no mortal sin on their souls, in other words. However, they are there, God alone knows for how many days, weeks, months, years, even centuries is possible. But they are nevertheless our brothers and sisters in the spiritual, supernatural sense of the word. And that is why we must care for them. And we are told, again, by St. Paul, love your neighbor as yourself. Love is the fulfillment of the law. This isn't obviously always about good feelings towards somebody. Charity is when we do it without the good feeling. That is truly charity. It helps when we have good feelings towards someone, but it's not required. As a matter of fact, it's on a higher plane when we do not have that feeling. We may not have any feeling towards the holy souls in purgatory, but that doesn't keep us from practicing charity to them. So there they are, suffering according to the very strict judgment which they received at their particular judgment. Remember, that happens in whatever place a person dies, he or she. The common understanding is that our Lord judges their soul right there and then. In this life, we experience far more mercy. But after we die, it's all about the justice, or especially about the justice. And God will demand an accounting of each and every sin committed, including all of the forgiven sins. Every one of them has a debt of punishment to be paid. Even our faults have to be expiated in purgatory, because to go to heaven or to be in heaven, one must be completely purified. completely pure. Nothing undefiled shall enter heaven. And it only makes sense. We are in the presence of infinite holiness. How could we bear to be in the presence of infinite holiness with the least stain or imperfection on our souls? Hence the need for purgatory. How do we help the holy souls in purgatory then? The church teaches the greatest way is through the holy sacrifice of the Mass, because it's an infinite prayer. When we have Masses offered for the holy souls, that is helping them in a tremendous way. Or even if you didn't offer a Mass stipend, just by being present at each Mass, you can pray for the holy souls in purgatory. And the more fervent your attendance at Mass is, the more you help them. The more graces are obtained, the more benefit we receive. Offering up other prayers, our daily rosary, or other special prayers we offer, stopping by the cemetery to pray, offering up sacrifices, offering up penances, fasting, for example, that helps the holy souls in purgatory. In addition, it diminishes our own purgatory time. But the church also gives us a very, very easy way. This is so easy. It's remarkable how easy it is to help the holy souls in purgatory and ourselves, and that's through gaining indulgences. What does that mean? That means we are given permission to tap into the spiritual treasury of the church. Yes, there's a spiritual treasury. It's a bank. It literally is a spiritual bank. Of course, you can't see it. It's not like Bank of America or Chase Bank or whatever other names, or a credit union, but it is a spiritual reality. When you gain an indulgence, you receive some of this. And what's in this spiritual treasury? The infinite merits of Christ, the superabundant merits, satisfaction that our Blessed Mother gained, that's also in the spiritual treasury. And then everything left over from the saints or other good Catholics who have gained more atonement, you might say, than they needed personally. So that's there in the spiritual treasury. You can read this right in the Catechism. Now, there are plenary indulgences and partial indulgences. Partial means several hundred days, some years. You can read this so often in a missal or the Racolta or a book about indulgences. It will tell you how much of a partial indulgence you get. And it's not, for example, 300 days off of purgatory, because we don't know how God's justice works exactly in the next life. What it is 300 days equivalent to 300 days of severe penance done in the early church. That's the equivalence. But it gets better than that. The church is very generous in letting us gain plenary indulgences, and plenary means the wiping out of one's entire purgatory time. No matter how long it may be, a plenary indulgence removes all of it. As a rule, you can gain only one plenary indulgence a day. However, because of the communion of saints, we can give any and all of the indulgences we gain to the holy souls. Let's say you did three prayed three prayers or did three actions that gained you three plenary indulgences. You can keep one and give the other two to the holy souls, or you can give all three of them. Now, to gain a plenary indulgence, you have to be sorry for all of your sins, not just some of them, all of them. And as a rule, the church asks us to go to confession and communion in connection with that plenary indulgence, and often to recite an Our Father, Hail Mary, or Glory Be for the intentions of the Pope, or we would say intentions of the Church. Now, yesterday and on Friday, we were gaining that very special indulgence where every time you go into church, you pray six Our Fathers, Hail Marys, and Glory Bes. That is one plenary indulgence. But again, remember, be sorry for all of your sins. An indulgence is a remission of punishment for sins already forgiven. So if you're not sorry for some sin in your life, even if it's venial, you obviously can't gain an indulgence for that because it has to be forgiven first. So when we see how relatively easy it is to gain indulgences, it only makes sense that we make it a habitual thing in our lives to gain indulgences. If anybody ends up in purgatory for a very long time, it's simply their own fault. They chose that way because they weren't conscientious about gaining indulgences. Also, make the intention in the morning with your morning offering to gain all the indulgences possible, so that if you forget to make a specific intention, you will have already have made it early in the morning. Those that have done the heroic act or taken holy slavery, consecrated yourselves to Jesus through Mary, remember, you've already given all of this to Our Lady for total consecration. And don't be afraid because of that you'll have to be in purgatory longer. Remember that, as St. Louis de Montfort says in True Devotion, that's an unworthy thought to have of Our Lady, that just because you from the get-go gave her all of the indulgences, all of the satisfactory value of your good actions for her to distribute, to think that she would say, you have to stay in purgatory longer, is very unworthy of our Blessed Mother. So, yes, you've given them away already, but she will love you all the more for it and take care of you. It's so tragic when you think historically how Martin Luther attacked indulgences repeatedly. Most of his 95 theses were attacks on indulgences. Lots of sarcasm that he used. Now, granted, some of it had not been defined by the church, and the Council of Trent later on did define it, the reality of indulgences. But let's not neglect to use this very powerful means of helping the holy souls, and we will be helping ourselves too. We will be sanctifying ourselves. We will be exercising charity. It's true that indulgences, and this is what Martin Luther could have legitimately attacked if it was made to appear as though you can buy your way into heaven through money offerings to the church to which there were indulgences attached at the time. And yes, sad to say, there were abuses. The abuses should have been attacked, but not the doctrine. Properly understood, it is one of the great, well, it's one of the teachings of the church. It's one of the teachings of Scripture even, because the Pope, the power of the papacy, has that power to grant indulgences. So let's not neglect it. Let's use it. And I'll close with a brief reflection on the gospel of today. How often in life do we feel like we are about to perish in storms and difficulties? But what a great lesson our Lord tells us. Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Now, the apostles did not know that our Lord was going to quell the storm. He could have allowed the boat to be smashed by the waves. Already the waves were covering the boat. How terrifying is that? I've seen the Sea of Galilee when just a small wind, maybe 5-10 miles per hour, is blowing, and already the waves are picking up. You can see it. These were covering the boat. But the point is that if we are with our Lord, that if we are loving our Lord, serving him, then he will be taking care of us. He will bring us through whatever it is. And in this case, he rebuked the wind and the sea, and a great calm happened. There's a great saying I've read, and I'll truly make this my last point. Don't just tell God how great the storm is. Tell the storm how great God is. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.